Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.
Welcome in San Diego, it's Jade Hindman. On today's show, author Maria Dolores Aguila shares a story of Chicano resilience in her book, A Sea of Lemon Trees. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. Through books like Menudo Sunday, author Maria Dolores Aguila writes stories of San Diego's Mexican-American community, often telling true stories of resilience. She's the author of the 2024 One Book, One San Diego Kids Selection, Barrio Rising, The Protests That Built Chicano Park. And she's back now with a new book, this time a novel for young readers called A Sea of Lemon Trees. Maria Dolores Aguila, welcome back to Midday Edition.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
So glad to have you. So your latest book tells a story from nearly a century ago. What was the Lemon Grove incident?
So in 1931, the Lemon Grove School Board decided to create a separate school for Mexican children. And so the Mexican community was not happy with that, and they fought back against that. Americanization school is what they called it. And they took the school board to court, and they won.
And tell me a bit more about that. What was the importance of that?
They were fighting against segregation. They didn't want to be in a separate school because they were concerned about the quality of education. And of course, we know, you know, separate is never equal. So they, you know, fought back against it. And it was during a time when it was at great personal risk because it's set in the Great Depression and it's also set in the Mexican repatriation. So not only were they facing economic risks like losing jobs, but also being deported to Mexico. So it's an important incident because it shows how a community can come together and fight against injustice, even at great personal risk.
Right. Well, and unlike your more recent books, Barrio Rising and Menudo Sunday, this is not a picture book, but a novel. So why did you feel that was best for this story?
So what's funny is that A Sea of Lemon Trees was a picture book at one time. And so my editor was like, you know, I think this should be a middle grade novel. And as soon as she said that, the first poem came to me and I was like, oh, okay, like, yes, let's do this. Like, let's write this as a novel. And I found in the novel, I was able to add so much more layers and so much more texture to the story than I could in a picture book. So I think that with this layered and textured approach, you get a real sense of the time and the place and what Roberto had to go through to be successful in this court case.
Well, can you read something for us?
Yes. Let me read one of the first poems. I live in a sea of lemon trees, rows and rows of trees studded with bright yellow globes, tightly tucked within glossy green leaves that rake your hand when you reach in to touch the sour-scented, cream-colored blossoms. I live in a sea of lemon trees, atop a mesa, las raíces de mi familia stretching from the south, a volcanic quarry to the north, the foothills of Mother Miguel rimming the east, and blinding glimpses of the Pacific Ocean to the west. On the best days, the faintest briny breeze plays with the flower sack curtains on my window. I live in a sea of lemon trees, with small patches of wild, where narrow-leaved romerillo, velvety savia blanca, and golden yarrow grow. I live in a sea of lemon trees where the newspapers proclaim the greatest climate on earth, and it is.
Oh, that's beautiful, and it really takes you there.
Yes.
Right? The texture, the colors, the scent. Can you talk about your writing process?
So I am very organized when it comes to my writing process, and it was actually an evolution to get there, because when I first started writing, I was like, I don't need an outline. I don't need to like know where the story is going. That's going to hinder my creative process. But I never was able to finish anything. So now I'm very organized. I, you know, use the Save the Cat method, where they have 15 beats from, you know, the final image, first image to the final image. And, you know, I lay out what I'm going to write, and I'm very organized on how I do it, because that's how I can finish something. Even though it doesn't feel very artistic, it actually is, because there's freedom in the structure of it.
Well, I imagine research, too, was an important part of telling this story. What was that process like?
I love research. Like, I can go down a rabbit hole mm-hmm. and, like, read all these old articles. And, you know, there's a letter that one of the parents wrote for the Mexican consulate. And I remember, like, I found it and I was like, oh, my gosh, I get to read it. I'm so excited. I know. So for me, research is the funnest part. Like, you literally have to pull me away from it. But I enjoyed it so much. And there's a bibliography in the back with all the research that I did.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, why did you choose to write this novel in verse?
So I grew up here in San Diego, and I never knew about this. Just like I didn't know about Chicano Park, I didn't know about this court case, Lemon Grove incident. And so I always grew up learning stories about what Chicano communities had done in other parts of California. So like the grape boycotts in Central California, you know, the East LA things, but never nothing in San Diego. And I was like, why? Like, have we not done anything? But, you know, come to find out through research, like, the community in San Diego has accomplished things, and they've just been buried or not told for whatever reason. So I wanted to create this story so kids that live in San Diego, kids like that were like I once was, can see that, wow, you know, I come from a powerful place, like from powerful people that have accomplished amazing things.
Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting that that's not like the first thing that, you know, people are taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
In your research, did you look into why that is? What conclusion did you draw on that?
So when I was doing the research, Roberto, the protagonist in the story, he was just a real quiet guy, and he never even really talked about it. So, you know, he wasn't one to toot his own horn or to be like, I was a lead plaintiff in the, you know, the this case. No, he was just really quiet. He, you know, he went to World War II, and then, you know, he had a business, and that was it. He just never really talked about it.
Interesting. Well, you know, like all your books, the setting is here in San Diego, as you mentioned. This time your story takes place in Lemon Grove, of course. How did you want to capture Lemon Grove at the time this story takes place, back in the 1930s?
Yes. So 1930s, it's funny because Lemon Grove is considered a rural area, right? Not right now,
right.
But in that time is a rural area. And I got to see a lot of like little papers and like advertisements for people to buy property in Lemon Grove. And it had stuck out to me. One of them had said, a sea of lemon trees as far as the eye could see. And I don't know why that image just like stuck with me. And I was like, wow, like, I really like that. So that was one of the things that really stood out to me during the research and like portraying Lemon Grove.
Yeah. It's almost hard to see Lemon Grove as a rural area looking at it now.
Yes.
You often incorporate real events into your writing, like here in A Sea of Lemon Trees. How do you approach finding a balance in being historically accurate while also making the story engrossing for the reader?
So that is the part that is hard, because I do want to stay as true to the story as possible, but I do have to take creative liberties to make the narrative work, right? So it's a tricky balance, and I always skew to the side of like, I want to be exactly right. Like, this is how it happened and this is how it should be portrayed. But that doesn't always work when you're trying to create a narrative. And I rely a lot on my heritage as a Chicano writer to know that, you know, in my community, we do things a certain way and make sure that I portray them accurately. So it's a balance of trying to make sure that I stay as close as possible, but also forgiving myself for having to take creative liberties mm-hmm. in the story.
As with any author.
Yes.
You know? Well, so the book comes out today, and it already has been nominated for the long list for a National Book Award. So congratulations to you on
Thank
that.
Thank you.
Tell us about that and what else you have planned for the book.
So I had no idea that it was nominated to be on the long list for the National Book Award. And that morning, you know, I had been snoozing my alarm. Mm-hmm. And then finally, when I unsnoozed it, my phone was blowing up. And I was like, what's going on? Did I do something wrong? Like, what's happening? And so I was like, congratulations, congratulations. I was like, what? And so then come to find out, you know, the book has been listed as one of the long lists for young people's literature for the National Book Award. And I mean, it's my debut book. Like, I didn't even know what to think. It was just such an honor to be, like, listed among these other authors who, with these prestigious backgrounds and their amazing literary work that they do. So it's an honor. And I'm so excited that other people can see San Diego history and kind of pull more of a universal lesson from it, mm-hmm. Even though it's such a local story.
It very much is. I tell you what, even though the snooze button and the alarm didn't get you out of bed, a slew of congratulations will always do the trick. That's great. It's a great way to wake up. Isn't
yes.
It is. Well, so, the events in your novel took place nearly 100 years ago now, yet feels very resonant to things happening today. Was that intentional?
That was not intentional. I started writing it in 2021 before this kind of happened, and I thought I was going to be sharing a history lesson. And with everything that's going on right now, I'm like, wow, we really do live in the echoes of the past. Like, this has happened before, and now I feel like it's not just a history lesson, but it's also a guide to coming together as a community and fighting back.
And what do you hope readers take away from this story on that note?
What I hope more than anything that readers take away from this story is to feel empowered, to create change in their community, and to feel proud to stand in community.
Maria Dolores Aguila's new book is called A Sea of Lemon Trees, and it's out today. Her previous books include Barrio Rising and Menudo Sunday. Maria, congratulations again, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. If you missed anything, you can download KPBS Midday Edition on all podcast apps. Don't forget to watch Evening Edition tonight at 5 for in-depth reporting on San Diego issues. Also, you can always share your feedback or segment ideas at midday@kpbs.org or just give us a call. The number is 619-452-0228. I'm Jade Hindman. We'll talk again tomorrow. Until then, have a great day on purpose, everyone. That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
Here in Southern California, we know all too well the devastation wildfires can cause. That's why our mission is to stop the next one before it starts. I'm Brian D'Agostino, leader of SDG&E's Wildfire and Climate Science team, and we've built one of the most advanced wildfire prevention programs in the country with a team of world-class meteorologists using artificial intelligence and real-time weather data, all to help keep our communities safe. We're also building a stronger grid and using public safety power shutoff when necessary, because believe me, I've seen firsthand how unpredictable wildfires can be. But here at SDG&E, we face that uncertainty head on to help keep you safe. Learn more at sdge.com/wildfiresafety.